Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop right on.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find. Don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Everyone, this is Cheyenne Israel with another edition of the Yehuda Project. It is another first of the week Sunday. This is not the Sabbath. Sunday is the first of the week, just for those who want to know. And all praises be to the High and Holy One of Israel. There is no Elohim like our Elohim, for he is the true and living Elohim. Hallelujah. All praises be to the Most High Yah. I am so charged from yesterday's class. I'm still charged from it. You know, when he show you a little piece of the nugget, you be like, oh, my goodness, okay, okay. So I am really charged today. I'm glad everybody is here. All of you all that have been here with us from the duration and you've been faithful, I say to you, my hat goes off to you. All praises to the Most High. Thank you so much for all things that you have done, you know, and keep on letting the Most High interject and put that word in you, because once that word is in you, can't nobody trick you. It's in there. It get to say, Brother Uriah, if you can hear me, please push one. I just need you to push one. Ooh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Everybody, anybody, yesterday's class was good. Yes, it was. I don't know if everybody got it, but boy. I have really enjoyed this. The word is powerful. There's so much in that word. It's just powerful. It is so many things that we have to deal with today. I just got an email from from Malka, that she just sent me, that was by NBC, the list of things to warn black children about keeps getting longer. You know, it's just incredible, you know, but we knew this was going to happen. You know, it's in other words, you know, we got to tell them how to drive and what to do when the police get behind you, or what to say when they pull you over, and not to reach for nothing, especially our black men, you know, and our young men is getting, you can't afford to get angry, you got to just let it do what it do, and, you know, it's just all kind of stuff, but it's almost over, y'all, just hold on, old soldiers, it's almost over, the Most High is coming. He is coming to deliver us from this place. It's almost over with. That's all I can say. You know, we have to be at ease until he comes. It's almost over. Just hold the faith. Keep the faith and do what he tells you to do. I just wanted to ask Sister Yasantia, you know, I already know how she feels about the class. I already know. You know, it just was off the chain powerful. It just was off the chain powerful. It just was. You know, when you understand how it all works together from the very beginning, you know, when you understand that there was a reason why he chose Abraham, you know, he called Abraham his friend. Abraham was his friend. And then, you know, Abraham, because of Abraham, he said, because of Abraham, I'm doing all this that I'm doing for you. It's just, the word is just rich. It's just rich. You know, and people just, you know, and like I said, we don't put a whole lot of stuff on the internet anymore because we don't want the Christian pastors to get on there and start teaching things that they have no knowledge of. So that is why we don't do that. We do not do that anymore. You know, we do not put that stuff available. If you want to know what we're teaching, you got to come to the class. You know, so it's just, oh, my goodness gracious of mercy. It's powerful. You know, Abraham was his friend, and, you know, then Isaac, and then Jacob. You know, and then, you know, he had them 12 sons, and that all of it plays into the big picture. It just really, really do. I noticed the men wasn't saying nothing yesterday. It got real quiet. I mean, you might have had one that made a comment, but the women, boy, y'all was taking it on. I am serious. I said, look at him go. All praises to his high holy name. Yes, you know, that when that wisdom step in there, don't get bad, brothers, but you know she is female. When that wisdom step in there, you got to sit back and listen. Yes, you do too. Hallelujah. Glory to his high and holy name. It's powerful. It is powerful. Hallelujah. You know, we just give him honor and praise because the things that we have had to endure and the things that we are yet seeing. And you know what? So what we do is, as we prepare ourselves and we read about this supernatural stuff, when it finally hits, we ain't going to be, we'll be a little shocked, but we're going to be like, here he come. We told you. We told you he was coming. Here he come. You know? You know? Yes, indeed. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. I don't know how some of you all feel about it. I would like to know how you feel about it. If you want to push one, please feel free to do that. There's always things that I can introduce into the class, but I just love talking about y'all. I love talking about Israel. I love talking about Yahweh. I love talking about wisdom. I love talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, it's just amazing. I hope, Sister Yasantia, that you have enough information to be able to pass it on But even if you do, they, you know, people don't have the insight to even be able to absorb it, because it's something that you got to know as a people. You know how he operates, because one thing about him, he does what he wants to when he wants to. You know, now he ain't going to break his law, but he does what he wants to when he wants to. And he is the he's the master puzzle maker. Yes, he is. Like you said, the master strategist, he is. And that's why the world don't understand him. And the world ain't really supposed to understand him, because the world is wrapped up into the gods that they were given. And everybody is worshiping their own gods. You got every nation got their own god. We know all that. And they worshiping their own gods. But Israel, he belongs to us. And he lets know to us his secrets. He reveals his secrets to his prophets before he do it. So we already know what's getting ready to go down. And as much as we talk and as much as we tell them, nobody seems to want to be listening. And it's just incredible. It is incredible. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty God. All praises be to his high and holy name. You know, I'm just excited. You know, I wish somebody else would talk back to me. I do not like to talk about myself. You can feel free to push one at any time. You know, it's just amazing how we see what we see and we experiencing what we experiencing. And then he comes down and drops a little bit of information to you and downloads it into your spirit. And you like, oh, okay. Okay, then. You know, and that just, it just was powerful. You know, it's just a powerful thing. And he leaves no room for secrets. He let his people know exactly what it is. He let them know what it is. There's some serious stuff jumping off. You know, some serious stuff jumping off. Let me see if I can find this video that she sent me. Hold on. Just give me 1 second, everybody. see if I can find this video. The list that we have to give our children is getting longer and longer. But you know, he said Jacob's trouble was coming. He said it was coming. You know, a lot of things are beginning to make sense now. You know, it really is. Now you understand why the Bible is such a controversial book now. Now you understand why it is. You know? It's just, it's crucial. It is something else. You know, and all these folks is looking weird. Some of these people is looking weird. They ain't looking like people. It's like, man. You know, it's just, I'm something else. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Ooh. I just don't know. It's a lot going on. You know, it takes a lot. It just does. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of spiritual awareness. It takes a lot of patience. It just takes a lot. It does. You know, we have it. He's prepared us for it. He's equipped us with it. It really does. You know. And, you know, to everybody who sent me videos and emails to watch, I am so sorry. You know, please beg my pardon. I am so sorry about the things that I haven't responded to you all about. You know, but I have so many things going on, and I just don't have a whole lot of time now through the week to do that kind of stuff, but I'm watching them. I promise you I will, and I will respond as soon as I possibly can. You know, but, yeah. Okay. I guess I'm going to talk to myself today. Ain't nobody talking. I'm surprised. I'm shocked. You know, it's a miracle, you know, to see the things that we have done and the things that we have allowed ourselves to learn. You know, you never get over the shock factor. You'd be like, wow, that is off the chain. And for a lot of people, it's hard to deal with the supernatural, because the supernatural takes you out of your comfort zone. You know, when we was in Christianity, yeah, they told us about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They told us about the fiery furnace. They told us about the Red Sea and them walking across on dry land. They told us all those things. They preached it to us. They sang it to us while they preached it to us. But the supernatural is still the supernatural. And he's still the supernatural Elohim. And we can make these some supernatural stuff. You know. And we got to get ourselves ready for that because they live among us. They're standing for the longest. You know, I don't like to say it too loud, you know, because folk listening, but they do. They live among us. They do. And we just got to be able to understand that that's what it is. And this whole thing is about keeping Israel in the dark. That's what it's about. You know, that's what it's about. And we have to continue to get to know our Elohim so that he can continue to deposit in us the things that we need to the things that we need to know. You know, so that we can keep it moving, because we got to keep it moving. This is real serious here. I don't know how much else I can tell you. You know, I know it's a lot of deep people on this call, and some of y'all be texting and stuff. Push one so we can talk about it. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about, but push one, because believe me, when I tell you the world is listening, they listening. They are. Oh, okay. Thank you, Brother Uriah. I got it. He sent me a video. Let me see. I did get it. Thank you so much. With the black Jesus. Putin and the black Jesus. I don't even know what to say on that one. I really I don't even know what to say on that one. That's just a lot. It's like, what in the world? Let me see. I'm pulling it up. It's just something. All kind of stuff. All right, let's see what we come up with. Let's see. I hope they talk about it. Oh, it sure is. Look at that. Hold on. Let me see what we got. Let me see what we got. Thank you, Brother Uriah. I appreciate that. Let's do it. I'm all for it. Here we go. I don't know if it'll talk. You just got him driving.
The lady should consider it. Yeah,
I don't know. Hold on, you guys. Now, what's going on here? Let me give you the video so you can see it. It's called Vladimir Putin Visits Illegally Annexed Kherson, Kherson, comma, Ukraine. Vladimir Putin visits, with an S, illegally annexed, A-N-N-E-X-E-D, Kherson, Kherson, Ukraine. And if you go to about a minute 25 seconds, you'll see him with this yellow cathedral in his hand. It's like a replica of a church, and he's going to open it up, and inside of it is a black Jesus. This is going to cause a problem. This is going to really cause a problem. It's going to cause a problem. I'm telling you. He got a black Jesus in there. That's going to cause a problem. My. I'm saying. And you know what? You wonder if they do some of this stuff on purpose just to get stuff started. I was thinking about that today. I said, I wonder how much of this is pre-staged to try to get a reaction. Because if you're doing it for our benefit or trying to make us feel like that you're controlling the narrative, One thing about Yah, that's only because he allows you to. But the moment that he get ready to step into your reality and make sure that nobody can take the credit but him, there's nothing nobody's going to be able to do about it. Not a doggone thing. Nothing anybody is going to be able to do about it. So, you know, I'm just watching all this like, because that's all you can do. And he opens up the door, and there's a black Jesus. Now, I don't know what it's supposed to mean, but this is clear as day. You know, I really don't. I don't know what it means. I really don't. I mean, you know, something that came up in class yesterday, we really don't know. It's a lot of stuff we're going to see that's not going to make no whole lot of sense, but we got to still hold fast to the word. We got to do what y'all tell us to do, period. All praises to the High and Holy One of Israel. You know, thank you so much for the video. I do appreciate that. You know, and as we move forward, we got to do what we got to do. I mean, because it's a lot of stuff going on. It's a lot of stuff being said, a lot of stuff being done. It's a lot of things going on. It really is. You know. But at the end of the day, we got to be vigilant. We got to do what Most High tell us to do. You know, we do. Because he's there. He's making it happen. He is making it happen. It is a lot. You know, people, and we just got to be able to see that. You know, it's crucial. It is truly crucial. I mean, anybody have want to push one and open discussion for me so I'm not talking about by myself or talking to myself? I would really like to talk to somebody. I mean, I really would. I really don't have a desire to talk to myself, you know, but if you guys just want to listen, I can do it. I can ramble on, you know, and bring some stuff to the forefront. But, you know, because like I said, the biggest thing that we have to learn right now is that he's getting ready to come. He's coming. He is coming. He coming. Hold on. Area code 513, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom, 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 family.
Shalom.
I just find it very interesting the time we living in, because things seem like they have just sped up.
Yes, indeed. It's
just amazing to watch this. Everything that was hidden on the carpet is getting pushed out in the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
People of other nations are looking at stuff going, what in the world?
Right.
Absolutely. It's a lot going on. It's like, man, you just awestruck because, you know, you hear about it so long and you try to prepare for it for so long, but now that we actually hear and you're actually looking at it, it's like, wow. But
yeah,
it gives you more of a peace to a certain degree because you're ahead of the curve. You know what's going on. You know why it's happening.
Yeah.
And you know you have the insight, but it's just amazing to see how Most High is just putting this together. And it seems like now everything is just starting to speed up.
Yeah. It really does. It's something to see. I mean, it really is something to see. You know, you don't get tired of looking at it. I mean, you just look at it like, okay. I mean, because you've seen so many hurricanes and tornadoes and floods, and you know, it's like, you know, everything is a biblical proportion. This hasn't happened in 100 years, and we haven't seen torrential rains like this in 50 years. And I mean, it's how they always add years to it. It's just been terrible and the blah blah, and you're just looking like, yeah, well, it's going to unfortunately get a little bit worse. You're going to get a little, and the food prices, oh my goodness, it's almost like you're working to eat. I'm serious. It's like you are working to eat. It is so, food is so doggone high, it is ridiculous.
And it seems
like
so that you read so much in the Bible about how they went through the famine and, you know, all of this stuff. It seems so far away, but you, to really actually understand how you right in the midst of it and how all of that is coming true.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's wild.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, even with that, God always made a way for Israel, too, when it was a famine. He made a way. You know, he put Joseph through all that so that he could make a way in the event of a famine. He did. Because he pronounced judgment on Egypt. And as a result of that judgment, they went through 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And as a result of that, he made a way for the children of Israel for those 7 years of famine and put Joseph in an authoritative position where he would be able to feed his people. Powerful stuff. The things that we take for granted in the Word, now they apply to us for real. And it's real life. It's real life application. And these are real life people that this stuff happened to because we're the descendants of these people. And it's off the chain. It's like, wow. You know, we can redo this one more game. You know, it really is. Hold on. Area code 717, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, what I was going to say. Can you hear me?
Yeah, just barely. You was echoing a lot, but go ahead.
Okay.
The other person has call captions
enabled. What I was
going
to say was
please start speaking.
When I went to the store, we bought 3 pieces of fruit, and they charged us $87 for 3 pieces of fruit for soursop.
For how much? For what did you buy now?
Wow.
We bought soursop. It comes from the Dominican Republic. It's a fruit, but... Yeah, it fights cancer and everything. It's a really good fruit, and they're trying to ban it because of it healing cancer. And they charge just for three, $87 and change.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna get worse than that, sis. And how much was it before? Do you know how much it was before?
It was $20 before.
Wow.
It was like $20 before. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now it's $87. Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Yeah, but it heals. It heals the cells.
Wow. Woo, Lord, have mercy. I know it's going to get worse. It's just going to get worse. It is really about to get worse, you know. It's about to get worse. We basically working to eat, you know. Seriously, that's what I was telling Malcolm today. I was like, you know, when you go to the grocery store now and you find stuff like butter and cheese on sale and stuff, you got to buy as much as you can because you're about to freeze some of that stuff. You know, vegetables and bell peppers and all that kind of stuff. If they ever mark them down and you can get them and freeze them because you're going to have to I freeze fruit, everything, because you just don't know. You know, I like to make smoothies, so I just freeze them. I'm like, well, let me get these and go on to put them in some freezer bags and put them in the freezer. Because it's going to get interesting. I'm telling you, that's going to become a delicacy here in a minute. Eggs is expensive. Everything is expensive. But, again, if these countries have denounced the dollar, but just think about it. If all these countries that they say has denounced the dollar, and they're no longer using the dollar to buy oil with, and they're trading between the oil companies with their own currency, what do you think is happening to the dollar around the globe?
I don't think other people are accepting it. I don't think they're taking it. Other places. I mean, but I don't think that that's something that they probably will put on the news here because they don't want, you know, people in America to know that. But I don't think other places are probably taking it.
Right. And what about the dollars that they already have? It ain't just sitting. Nobody's using it.
Yeah, everybody's pretty much fed up with anything that comes up out of here. They tired of the monopoly and big brothering and being, you know, the sanctions and everything else. The underhandedness, they tired of it. And you can't really blame them. When you sit here in the United States and you have people here that need homes and people need food, and you sending money to other places and bringing other people here and, you know, not even taking care of the people that are here. So you definitely can understand what their viewpoint is toward us, because a lot of people here have a similar viewpoint.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know, it'll only be worth something here. But globally, if they stop buying and trading in dollars, what is going to happen? You know?
It's not even just thinking about the food. I mean, it's everything, car parts.
Yeah.
You know, essentials that you need, medicine, whatever, clothes, whatever.
Anything that we import in, anything that we import, we got a situation
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
If you
and
pull up
to say that,
and put in the death of the U.S. dollar, everybody is talking about this.
Mm.
Like you said, they don't really put it on the mainstream media because it'll cause a problem.
Yeah, they definitely try to stretch it out, but I mean, when you have as much pandemonium that's going on with all the train derailments and explosions that all of a sudden are starting to happen, and the tornadoes and all the weather that just keeps hitting back to back to back, the displacement and people not having homes, and you know, it's just you have the young people that are going out starting to riot and terrorizing people. And it's not even summer yet. You know, you just see how we kind of creeping slowly into something that's getting ready to be out of control. And I really don't think that, you know, a lot of people are looking, you know, for fear. They try not to look outside of, you know, the front door, what's in their little small corner, but on a broad scale, yeah, this is going really fast into something that's getting ready to be very, very out of control.
You better believe it. And especially for people who, you know, lose their jobs and they don't have money stored up and all kind of stuff is jumping off, you know, it's going to get interesting. That's all I can say on the matter. It's going to get real interesting. Real interesting.
And, you know, mm-hmm. you can see at the same time they're just grabbing people up for the smallest of anything. They don't care about whether or not they have lawsuits or whatever. You know, it's just crazy. It's just really getting to a point. It's like, man.
Yeah.
So, like the article that you had about what we do need to tell our young people is you stay inside and, you know, you can't, it's sad for them because they're not able to get out and enjoy themselves like we once did, or go to the mall and hang out, or go to their friend's house, or go to a house party, or that kind of stuff. You got people that just drive by shooting up, and, you know, it's just uncalled for things, stealing cars.
It is.
You know, you got the young people that are doing things that are just so uncalled for, things that we just never imagined, and, you know, groups of them just going out stealing cars or just, you know, jacking people for money or whatever. You know, it's just getting ready to get this out of hand, especially with as many kids as they have that are doing these riots, and, they, you know, as they grow in popularity, you can just see a crescendo going on.
I agree, 100%. I agree. I don't even know what to say. I mean, like I said, if you look on the internet, it is all over the internet. It's everywhere. Pandemonium. You know, all kind of stuff. People are just when you have promoted a lawless moral society, this is what happens. I mean, you know, that's why it's so important. The family structure is so very important to be able to add and to make you understand who Yah is and how we are supposed to conduct ourselves. Because when you go through the scriptures, we have always been among other nations, living in other nations during captivities or whatever it's been. And we have always governed ourselves different from everybody else. And it was only when we started doing what everybody else was doing is that when he got angry with us. And it's so important now that we have to let people know, no, this is not acceptable. No, Yah does not want his people to live like this. No, we're not supposed to do certain things. Irregardless if everybody else and their mama doing it, that has nothing to do with us, and that we are supposed to live our lives in a certain way and different. But when you got these young people who have been raised by young people and anything and everything goes, and they've been exposed to anything at a young age, this is what you get. What you get.
Yeah,
Video games where they shoot people up and killing them, and the people falling dead, and they robbing cars on the video games, and they doing all kind of stuff. This is what you did. This is the monster that has been produced from the society that we live in today. It really is.
Right.
And the church used to be around to add some sort of a balance to say, well, no, you know, you better not do that. You're going to hell. You know, no, you better not do that. You sinning and God don't like it. Even though they didn't call on the God that we know, there was a balance. I don't know whether it was artificial or what, but it was a balance there. But now it seems like it's just all, it's a free fall. It really
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Feel like
and
it's a free
fall. It's more at the same time, the younger people that are having kids, there's no, you know, it used to be you had to earn what you got.
Yep.
So now it's just kind of like, you know, them giving it to them, and they're used to getting. And if they don't get it, then they're going to go take. So, you know, now it's falling into something totally different. I mean, you get to the point of where you don't have food on be able to feed your children, and they're going out there and taking it from somebody else, whether it be an elderly person, a single person, whatever it may be. But I mean, it's just, you can just see the handwriting on the wall that this is getting ready to be really something we have never experienced.
That's what he said. Jacob's trouble is going to be a time that has never been since there was a nation. It's going to be a time that it has never been. It's going to be serious, some Mad Max stuff if they're not careful. For real. Because it's already getting like that now. The kids have nothing to look forward to. They have nothing to do. And see, the thing about it is, you know, our generation, my mom's generation, my grandmother's generation, still picked cotton. So they still had that fear, you know, to the point where there was a level of fear, you know, and my mom's generation came up behind them, and they had a level of you know, lines you don't cross. Okay, you don't cross this line. You stay over here, you do this, and you don't cross this line. But now, and then our generation came after them, and we kind of told the log to a certain point. We was a little more radical than they are in terms of, nah, we ain't putting up with that. But we still had a certain line. It was a line there. But this generation now coming, they don't have it. They don't know nothing about none of that. They like, why come I can't have it? And who are you that I can't have it? Because if I, like you said, if I can't have it, I'm just going to take it. So if that's what it means, that we got to go to war, we just going to war. And it's like, oh, this is not going to be good. It's just not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's
I mean, you still have a lot of kids that still haven't returned from, you know, when COVID, all of that came about. They don't know where they are. You know, you just have a lot going on with the instantaneous gratification, the materialism, you know, the status. You know, you have that part. You have the people of the other nations that are used to being on top, and they can see it dwindling through their fingers now. And they're like, you know, the stress and coming at you and wanting to talk crazy to you and getting you caught up in a situation, it's getting ready to be something. Because at the same time, if you standing there and you the innocent person and they feel some kind of way about you and they calling the police, The police is going to listen to them more than they're going to listen to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No question. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Area code 330. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hey, Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.
Okay, sister. I just have a question for you. So, everything that's going on, I keep getting discouraged. Even though I pray every day, how can everything that keeps happening, you know, it's like losing hope. So what I wanted to know is, what did you think that a person should do? I pray all the time, but I'm still discouraged every day because I keep seeing everything that's happening in the world.
Okay.
So I'll just listen to you.
Okay. Well, guess what? Discouragement is natural because we all get discouraged because it's a terrible thing to watch. However, one thing that we know as Israelites is that we know that there's a plan in place. There's a plan in place that the God that you're praying to has set in motion. And unfortunately, we're visualizing and seeing the plan be put into action. You're going to see death. You're going to see famine. You're going to see murdering. You're going to see racism. You're going to see sexism. You're going to see immorality. You're going to see government corruption. You're going to see all of the things that he told you that you were going to see in Matthew chapter 24. All of that's in Matthew chapter 24. And he said these are just the beginning of sorrows. So, yes, it is very discouraging. But one thing that we know that keeps us at a level of stability is that we know that he told us that these things were going to happen. Then we know that he told us that he was coming to get us in the midst of the turmoil. So, you know, when you know that these things are going to happen, we can't stop it because he set this in motion. Because every nation, oh my goodness, where is that scripture at? I had to print it out because when we read it on I think it was Wednesday night, I had to print this chapter out because he told us what was going to happen. And yes, it is a terrible thing to watch. It's a terrible thing to watch our children get shot down in the street. It's a terrible thing to watch babies being aborted and murdered at an enormous rate. It's a terrible thing to watch the things that are happening in our nation with our men and our women. It's a terrible thing to watch the LGBT community doing what they're doing. It's a terrible thing to watch. You know why? It's because those are not the laws that we were given to live by. To everybody else, it's natural. And you're like, well, I don't see anything wrong with this. That's what they want to do. I mean, it's their choice. They do what they want to do. But to us, it's affecting you because you belong to the Most High.
Okay, so, sister, I sent you some things from Akron. Did you receive them?
I did see them. Yes, I did. I saw, yes, sir, I sure did see them. Yes, I did.
Okay, so they planned where people could come and protest, right?
Uh-huh.
Them people did not go downtown. They went to where they killed that kid at. And they blocked off that street for like 5 hours. And Akron went up there and tried to move them along, and they would not move. So what everybody's seeing is not what's happening. They have all downtown barricaded, blocked off. Glasses boarded up and all that. Those people aren't going down there. They're just not going down there. So I just wanted to tell you that. But as long as you saw the photos I sent you, that was
yes,
only
I saw them. I'm looking at them right now.
That was only a portion of them. I mean, you go down Main Street and everything is blocked off. You know, they got barricades in the middle of the street where you can't turn left or right, like a two-lane street, where they can put gates up to keep people from driving through. But these people have not been down there. They're going everywhere else.
Of course.
So anyway, you know, sometimes I just get discouraged about it. And it's only because these people just don't know what's right. So anyway, I'll get off and I'll listen to you. All right, thank you for listening.
My pleasure. It's a very difficult thing to watch. It is not easy to watch. We warned everybody in the beginning. We said this gonna get bad, and it's gonna be hard to watch. You just not going to, I said that all the time, like, you just not going to sit back and be like, oh, yeah, get him. It's because guess what? We're going to get affected by it, too. And it's going to be difficult to watch. But he told us that this day was coming. He told us it was coming. You know, he told us this was coming. And our job is to let our people know, stand down and stop doing stuff. Sometimes because of the way we live and the things we do, it causes a lot of the stuff to come upon us. Now, a lot of times sometimes it's guilty, it's innocent because you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. But the things that are happening today have to happen. They have to happen.
But at the same time, the adversary also knows what's getting ready to go down. He knows that his people are here, and he's going to try everything to try us.
Yeah,
he's going to
use
the people closest to you, people that you don't know, just to try to get you to fall back to your old ways. And that's why we as a people have to be more inclined to stand and unite in a way spiritually with the Most High. Because, you know, we that's all we have is each other.
Yes, ma'am.
And at that point in time is when you really get ready to see who's the rock and who's the Jew.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I definitely agree. He said, these things shall come. He said, these are the beginning of sorrow. The end is not yet. We still got to see a whole lot more. He said, this is going to be worse than anything you've ever seen. You know? And, I mean, they done sent me stuff where they got people eating raw meat. Raw meat. I'm like, what in the world is going on? People eating raw meat. Dang. The stuff is just totally insane. It's insane. Of the things that the people are enduring today. It's insane. But the reason why it's insane is because you're dealing with so many different things and so many different spirits. So many different spirits. And we have to understand the stuff we learn is real. It's real.
Yeah, in a little bit, it's not going to be so far-fetched. You get ready to see a whole lot. A whole lot.
He said in Matthew 24, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. What that tells me is all hell was breaking loose around, because it had to be bad for Noah to be starting to build that ark. And nobody paid him any attention because why? It didn't directly affect them. So everybody was doing what they normally do, just like today. And when he entered the ark and the Most High shut the door and it started to rain, then they started paying attention. But it was too late. And they said, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Most High doeth come. You've got to be vigilant. You've got to be vigilant. Because these things are going to happen. Gonna happen. It's getting ready to get ugly. Well, we're not even there yet. It's crucial. We have to be able to understand what he said he's gonna do. We have to be able to understand it. And when what I was talking about in Zephaniah chapter 3, the Most High said, he said, therefore, wait ye upon me. Hey, hold on, I got to put my phone on mute. He said, therefore, wait ye upon me, said the Most High, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. This thing is coming. And we used to have a church that used to preach about this, but now they don't do it. No, nobody do it. It's like, you better not say nothing. You're going to offend somebody. You better not say this. You're going to make somebody mad. You better not say this. You're going to be labeled this. You better watch what you say. He said, cry loud and spare not. So now there's a resistance, and don't nobody want to ruffle the feathers. They just don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. So be encouraging, and that's why David said, he said, I have to encourage myself. Sometimes you just got to encourage yourself, and the thing that encourages us the most is to know that we're getting ready to leave this place. That's the best encouragement, advice I can give you. You know? That's it. You know, it's just the truth. It's just the truth. It is just the truth. You know, it's just the truth. It is the seriousness of this thing. It can be very stressful, but it is what it is. There's nobody that can change it. Nobody. Nobody that can change it, because the Most High set it in motion. And it's going to get bad. It ain't. It's going to get worse. You know? It's gonna get worse, you know. It really is. There's nothing we can do about it. But why? We got to keep on keeping His word. We got to keep His laws, His statutes, and His commandments, and we got to keep His word. And if you hide that word in your heart, we have a more sure word of prophecy that gives us faith and hope that this thing is about to be over with, at least for us anyway. He said, the Most High said, my determination is, and that's Zephaniah chapter 3. He said, my determination is to gather the nations and assemble the kingdoms so that they can feel the wrath of my anger. This is happening. You know, so this is what it is. And it does. You be like, Lord, have mercy. When? How long? How much time we got? When you coming? This is a lot. And it is, but it's going to get worse. So you got to knuckle down. That's why we tell everybody, get a support system. Get a group that you can study with. Get your family together. Start storing up. Start putting things in motion, cold words and stuff where you know it's time to knuckle down. Start getting you some water and some food and start making preparations. Now, we ain't going to need them. We ain't going to need them. But it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So that'll keep you plenty busy. You know, what are we going to do in the event of this? Well, okay, if this don't happen, then what about plan B? And if this don't happen, what's plan C? We got to put plans in motion and get things together so we can all eat. Because it may come to a point where we all got to live together. We don't know what's getting ready to happen. You know? And you ain't going to be able to be alone. This my stuff and my house. Because you might have a house, but somebody else might have the food and the water. And they're going to bother like, okay, well, we got the food and the water. You got the house. We need to come over there and you provide for us and we'll provide for you. Because food prices can't get no higher, I'm telling you. Or everybody going to have a chicken out in the backyard clucking, a rooster and a chicken. We all going to have gardens and stuff where we growing stuff for ourselves. And then you got to make sure that you police it and somebody got to stand guard because somebody else ain't prepared. This is what we're getting ready to get into. And like the sister said, these young people, all they think about is weave and finger popping and nails and hair and all the crazy stuff that they've been doing to themselves, plastic surgeries and spending tens and thousands of dollars on that foolishness. And then when the stuff go down, you're going to be looking for somebody to feed you and everybody going to be looking like, well, you had enough money to do all that with. While you was doing all that, we was doing this. Because we knew this was coming. So this is where we are today. And I'm not trying to put panic in nobody's heart, but like I said, I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. Because guess what? We've been doing this for years. We've been telling people this for years. We've been warning people for years, and guess what? Some of us have even dipped into our stash to use it because it was just sitting there. But it's good. It's time to replenish and re-up. It's time. That water we used to brag about at Sam's, it's been doubled in price since we was doing this back in 2020, 2019. It's been doubled in price. I think I went and got three cases today. It was $11 for three cases of water. And that's the cheap brand. It ain't no joke. This is some serious stuff right here. This is what he told us. He said, look, he said, when you see these things, he said, this is the, look up, your redemption draws nigh. You know, he told us. But that's because his word will not come back void. It's not coming back void. His word is not coming back void. And no matter how crazy it sounds to the normal person, the person who think they normal and they just living every day like every day just gonna go on, to them it's foolishness. But to us, it's the power of Yah. And that's what the scripture says. You know? That's what it says. You know? It's just crazy. It's just food. They think it's just nonsense. And that's what 1 Corinthians said. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness. That's what it says. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness. For it is risen, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. It's foolishness. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. He said, the wisdom of this world is foolishness. It is. And everybody said, well, that's what everybody else is doing. I'm going to do what everybody else is doing. And the Most High said, that's just straight foolishness. It is. It says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with Yah. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Most High knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for for all things are yours. It's foolishness. It's wickedness. It's nothing but foolishness. Area code 214, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes. I just wanted to add something quickly. I think a lot of times people don't think that anything can happen to them because they simply are not aware of what's outside of the area that they live in. This may be anecdotal, but it seems that a lot of people that I see when I'm online do not know anything other than what's here in the United States, and they don't really know that well. So the world outside of the United States, it could be non-existent for the most part, and they think that they're invulnerable. We hear about all of the technology. We live in a world that's technological. We rely on all of the technology, and no one has ever really, on a large scale, had to live without these things, had to live without water for a year, had to live without electricity, had to grow their own food. And I really wonder how well that's going to work. I know my sister has a garden, and when she harvests, I'm thinking she may get a meal or two, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, we'd all starve.
Right.
I mean, really. And my grandfather was a farmer, but he farmed 60 acres, and he had 16 children. But, I mean, it was a wholesale effort. He raised cattle. He sold pigs. There was no running water. There was no electricity. My mom had to do her homework using a butane. It was a tough life. I mean, it was a really difficult life. I don't know that many people could survive that.
Right. That's true. I mean, but you're going to learn if you're going to eat. If you're going to survive, you're going to learn how to do a whole lot of stuff. You're going to learn.
But look,
you are going to learn how to do a whole lot of stuff if you're going to survive.
Yeah. The children picked cotton. My grandpa would go out and irrigate for other farmers while he was trying to farm his own property. My aunt says that they always had white wealthy farmers just circling around waiting for my grandpa to default. And he and his children and wife, they struggled. They sacrificed to hang on to that property and to sustain themselves. It was a very, 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 very subsistence type of living. I lived it for like 3 years. And I'm telling you, that's nothing having had to live it, you know, from the time I was born, because some of them were born in that and lived that way. So I'm looking around and I'm thinking, you know, I don't know how many people are really going to be able to make it. And I had the privilege of living outside of the United States, and this was back in the late 70s. And the currency in the country that I was in was changed, and people were given 2 weeks to change the currency. And if you didn't get in and change your currency, you were just out of luck. And here again, people were living. I mean, people were making $2 a day, $2 a day, trying to sustain a family on $2 a day. It was difficult. You talk about basically you were, as you were saying, working for your food. That was all people were basically trying. That was it. That was what my grandparents were doing. And their children working for their food, working just to make sure that they could sustain themselves. And, you know, people that are not familiar with how to do that, they will. They'll be taking the guns and showing up trying to take from other folks, but it's just going to be something else. I just don't know exactly how all that's going to work, but I do know that people seem to be naive to the fact that what they see happening in other countries can happen here.
It looks
easily.
Like it's happening already. I mean, for real. It's crucial.
Yeah.
It's crucial.
We can be invaded.
Oh, hold on. Hold on one moment. Area code 478, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, shalom. The sister right. I mean, she 100,000% right. I mean, it has taken me 2 years to try to get this thing off the ground, and finally I'm trying to get something started, but it's taken 2 years. The first year was too soon. The second year, I had to deal with the deer and everything else, and it was a lot. And she's actually right. You know, a lot of people not even looking at that stuff, but the people in this nation, we have a lot of people that tell you in a heartbeat, I'm not going to go do that. They'd rather just, like you said, take what somebody else has. Thank God I live out in the middle of, you know, nowhere where I don't have to worry about too many people. But it's like nobody's even trying to prepare for this stuff. Nobody's even trying to hear that. And then it makes me think about when the Most High says, gather yourselves, O nation not desired. It makes me wonder that we're going to have to actually come together to, in order to live, because we've talked about it here. You know, and I'll be the first one to tell you, you know, my doors is open for anybody and everybody that can help. Because, you know, we got 9 acres, we got food, we got water, you know, anybody that can help and achieve it. It's all, I'm saying, putting it on the record today on the Blog Talk Radio Show. My doors is open if you're willing to help.
Yeah. And that's going to be, you know, people say, help do what, you know, because we've been so spoiled that all we've had to do was go pick it up in the grocery store, and that's going to change a lot of things because it's going to get too expensive to buy. It's already getting too expensive to buy. Cost too much. Boy, I'm telling you, it's costing too much. Hold on, you guys. Area code 330, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, this is me again. I was just wondering, I sent you something about reparations, and they had something to talk about with Dr. Phil, which I didn't agree with, because the United States has paid Indians, they've paid the Japanese people for internment. They've paid the Holocaust people from Germany. But they sit up here and they don't want to pay the people that actually built the country. And the people that actually built the country were the slaves that they disenfranchised and all. So I sent that to you on Gmail. I don't know if you have it yet.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I got it.
But I just think there's something wrong with that, too, because they paid everybody else. Even back in the 1800s, they gave land grants to the white people, and they didn't know how to farm, but they put up something to teach them how to farm and this, that, and other. But they're sitting up here. We're the only ones they have not paid.
Right.
They have not paid us. So in my estimation, it's $800 million per person, which is probably trillions of dollars. But they still haven't did it. And Dr. Phil sat up there, and he wanted stipulations on it. So Oprah actually brought him in. So how can he sit up there and say that when she brought him in? But they didn't have stipulations on anybody else, but all of a sudden now they have stipulations, but they haven't even passed the bill to do it. But they passed the bill to do all those other three. Because Japanese were in internment camps because Japan attacked the United States. Germany attacked the, you know, the Jewish people, and they helped them too. But they haven't helped us, and we were the only ones they brought here against our will. And you know all the damage they did to us.
Yep.
I mean, you know, women were raped, kids were separated, families were separated, but they have no idea to help us. It's always a no. So I have a problem with that too. And although I know the Most High, you know, he has a plan for it. That still makes me discouraged too. And I know you read me some things earlier, but I just don't get it. So anyway, sister, thank you for listening.
All righty. So, you know, again, when you get to Genesis 15:13, we don't give a damn what Dr. Phil say, and excuse my language. We don't care nothing about what he says. He has no stake in this game at all whatsoever. The Most High said, let me read it to you again so we can make sure we get this. He said, this is what he said. He said, Genesis 15:12, he said, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. Said, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance. So it don't make no difference what Dr. Phil say, Dr. Will say, Woola booga woo, booga booga, ugga wooga. The Most High said we was coming out with great substance. Now, whether they call it reparation or whatever, however he choose to do it, his word is not going to come back void. And, of course, they got to get on TV and say, well, they shouldn't get anything. I don't see the reason why they should get anything. Of course they're going to say that. Of course. And he's going to let you know who your enemy is. Bold-faced, flat-footed, they're going to let you know that. He's not the first person that has said that. That he's not the first, and he ain't going to be the last. It may not even be called reparations, but he said afterwards we was coming out with great substance. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know the process of it. I don't know. But all I can go by is what this word saying. His word is not going to come back. So that's what we do. We'll wait and see. We'll see, won't we? We're going to find out one way or the other. It don't really matter what the man say to me. It is what it is. They're going to say a whole lot of stuff before it's all over with. They're not going to admit that we the Israelites. They're not going to admit that we're worth anything or deserve anything. Everybody can tell us about us, but they can't see themselves. Everybody can tell us about our nation and what's wrong with our nation, but nobody wants to admit what their ancestors did. Everybody got all kind of stuff to say about how terrible we are as people, but those are the ones that's allowing all of this stuff to happen in our communities. Ain't nobody flying no drugs in. We don't have no planes flying drugs in and dropping them off in the community. Ain't nobody in our neighborhoods making assault rifles and putting them on the markets and stuff. We're not doing all that stuff. So it don't surprise me. Nothing surprises me about any of it. Because you're going to see who's who and how they really feel. It's like I saw a video of this white lady. She was in Days Inn, and she told a girl something like, you ain't supposed to be eating in here, you ain't got no business in here or something. And the girl was very polite. She said, I ain't got no business in here. Why? I've got a room just for... And the manager, he was also Caucasian. He was telling the lady, yes, she does. She's a patron here. The lady walked around in the front of the girl and spit in her face. That girl beat the mess out of that lady. Just that a loogie, like... In a face. They're not going to be able to hide the way they feel. So it don't matter what they say. I don't care nothing about what all I care about is what the Most High say. That's the only thing that matters. And all I can say to everybody that's saying it, or they saying it's not going to happen, well, let's just wait and see. We're going to see. I don't even get upset about that. And just because Oprah paved the way for him, that means nothing either. That means nothing. They're going to still feel the way they feel, and it don't matter. Because why wouldn't you want us to get something? Guess all you've given us is welfare and food stamps and told us how terrible it was that we didn't want nothing and how we wasn't nothing other people and we wasn't going to never be nothing. They have sent so much propaganda through the news media to vilify us as a people that it's discouraging and it's a shame. Don't surprise me not one bit. Not one bit. Don't surprise me not one bit. It really doesn't. Who cares what he thinks? Who is he? You know, who cares what that man thinks? He has no idea what it feels like to be me. He has no idea what it feels like to be us. They always got all the answers in the world. They don't even know what it feels like to be in a walk in our shoes at all. So who cares at the end of the day what he thinks? I could care less. Hold on. Area code 702, your mic is open. You're on the air. Area code 702.
Sorry, I had my mute on. Yes, sis, I had to chime in on this, and I know this is not going to be popular, but I'm going to say it anyway. I heard that comment that Dr. Phil had made, and he said that, no, we shouldn't get reparations. And he also said, because in 6 months we'll be broke again. And I'm sorry, I have to believe him. I, as a person who's in finance and money management, most of us don't know how to manage our money, and we end up giving it right back to them. So I don't know if that's what he meant by that, but that's how I took that. And from that standpoint, most of us do not know how to work with each other, how to trust each other, and most of us spend our money and put it right back in their hands. So I happen to agree with that statement. He said, when you listen to the totality of it, he said, in 6 months, we'll be broke again. That's all I have to say.
And guess what? Let me say something to that. In 6 months, this country could be totally broke. It doesn't matter, because the Most High said we was going to get it. He said, and when he said we was going to get it, we going to get it on our way out. So we ain't going to have a chance to give it back to them, because they getting ready to be broke the way this country is looking. So it's at the end of the day, it don't matter what he thinks. The Most High said we going to get it, and we going to get it on our way out of here, so we can't give it back to them. And all praises to Yah. And you know what? And from him sitting on the other end, you know, saying some stuff like that, whatever, however he chooses to do it for his people, he's going to give it to us. It don't matter. That's why we getting it on the way out. We're on our way out of here. Because it's their turn now. See what it feels like. This country could be broke in 6 months at the rate it's going. But everybody can sit at the table. And I'm not talking about you, but all the naysayers and gaysayers can sit at the table, and they can say whatever they want to say. But Yah said we going to get it on our way out, and we going to get it if he said that. Hold on, sis. Area code 513, your mic is open.
Yes,
you're on
I'm not a naysayer. I'm not saying that we're not getting it, don't deserve reparations.
I'm not talking about you.
I'm
talking about them. I'm not talking about you. I understand where you're coming from a financial standpoint and being a financial into what you're into. I'm talking about them. I'm always talking about them. So don't think that's about you.
I'm not. Well, I'm not going to argue. I just took it differently. I don't think he meant in 6 months, like hardcore 6 months. It's just a saying, like if he had said in 3 months. I'm just saying I know when the Most High gives us that, he's also probably going to be training us on how to treat each other, not only just with each other and how to trust each other, but financially as well. That's all I meant by that.
Absolutely, and I agree. That's why you're coming, because guess what? You'll be the ones to help them to do that. Everybody has a certain skill set to be able to show people how to manage it, and we won't even be here with the European mindset that we have been given. We're not even going to have to deal with none of that no more. That's over with. And that's one of the skill sets that you
have.
And I
do agree with that.
And that's why you're coming, because you'll be able to help for those people who don't know how to do it, to do it, because we won't be attached to this at all. And I do agree that the influence that this country has had on our young people, on our old people, on everybody, it's getting ready to be erased. That's all I'm saying.
That's the angle I was coming at. The influence that they've had on us, we don't even know how to. And, you know, and maybe my way might not even be the right way. I don't know, but I know we don't trust each other. I know we don't want to deal with each other. We don't want to buy from each other. We don't – all of that, the Most High is going to have to clean up in us.
He will, Because guess what we're going to have? We ain't going to have nobody but each other. It's just going to be us. And he's going to be there with us to be able to show us. He's going to change our whole mindset, our whole way of thinking. That's why we're getting it on the way out. Because we ain't gonna be nobody there but us. It ain't gonna be no more Fendi and Gucci and Chanel and all the other stuff that they have said into us that we need to have. We're not giving it back to them no more. When we leave wealthy, it's gonna be to encourage and establish us as a people. That's all I'm saying. And I don't expect them to understand. And I don't expect them to believe it. And I don't care what they say. And I agree with you 100%. If we had to get in and stay here to be the same old foolishness, that's why he said when we leave, we was leaving with great substance. That's why it's on the way out the door. And ain't nobody going to have nothing to say about it.
And that's why I always say I'm glad we don't have it. We don't have it right now. We'll get it when it's the right time, but now is not. If we get it in this environment, it goes right back to them because we don't understand it. We don't understand how that whole thing works. And that's how I took it from what he was saying. It's like at this point, if we're still here, yep, we give it right back to him. So
we feel like we can't come. I agree with you on that. That's why the Most High said, and afterwards, this is Genesis 15:14, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. It's on the way out. That's why you ain't going to have a chance. Guess what? And it's so cold-blooded that when we leave, we can't take none of that mess with us. We're going to have to leave all that mess here. There'll be a whole different lifestyle. And whether he believes it or not, whether they substantiate, I believe. He said, whose report you going to believe? I believe Yah.
And you know something, sis? It's like the Most High just hit my spirit. I know we worry about, well, we don't know how to plant and this, that, and the other, but we did. It's in us. And when we walk out of here with that substance, he just like he needs to show us how to trust each other and all that again, all of that that's in us, how to do all those things that we've lost knowledge of will come back or he'll put it back.
Yes, he will.
Or
yes, he will.
He will take us,
yes, that's
he'll
the
take
Elohim
us to
we
land
serve.
Very fertile. Well, we don't have to do all of that hard scrabble stuff like we did here.
That's true. That is so very true. So, you know,
that's
whatever we
too.
And so what, they always sitting back trying to psychoanalyze us. Go deal with the hatred and the filthiness that's going on in your own community because we're going to be all right. Yeah, we're a little screwed up now. And, yeah, it's been a job that's been done on us. But our Elohim said he got us, and we're going to trust in him and only him. That's real talk right there, for real. You know, that just makes me angry.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying every time the situation come up, and he ain't the first one to say it, the one man said it, Mitch McConnell, no, I don't think they should get reparations because how are we going to be able to tell who's a slave and who came from a slavery? Who don't? It don't matter what nobody say because the Most High said we was going to come out with great substance, and we coming out of here with great substance. And that's just the truth. And guess what? And when it happened, it ain't going to be nothing nobody going to be able to say about it. They not even going to know what we did with it when we leave with it because we going to use it for our benefit this time. And there ain't going to be no more commercials and all that kind of stuff with Louis Vuitton and Gucci and Chanel and all that. Ain't going to be no more of that stuff. Ain't going to be no more fashion shows that we spend our money. Ain't going to be no more of that. It ain't going to be no more of that. And that's what everybody would, oh, my God, what you mean? What are they getting? Why do they get it? Ain't nobody else getting none. You have had a lifetime to live a certain way. And we have had to make lemonade out of lemon peels, and we did it. And when we knew that it was the punishment that he put on us, we accepted it. And we did what the Most High told us to do. But he made a promise that we was going to come out with great substance. So my word to Dr. Phil and everybody else, we'll see. Let's see. And then when we do, you won't know nothing about it because we won't even be here.
And one of the things I'd like to add, you mentioned Mitch McConnell, right? We have to consider the source.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell, great-great-grandfather's owned 14 slaves. He's in a position of power because the wealth that was accumulated off the back of our ancestors has been passed generationally to him. And they were paid for the loss of the wages that we were that our ancestors never received. So I do not even consider them. The Most High said that we would get what's due us, and we will get it because he's the one that's going to pay us. And I do believe you're right. We're going to get it on the way out. It will not be here. These people will be left in a wretched position, just as they had us in a wretched position, because we will take our wealth with us, including our knowledge, including our strength, including our health, which will be restored to us. I also want to say something to the gentleman who was speaking, to the brother who was speaking. Sometimes when I'm getting discouraged and I see all of this stuff that's happening, I just ask the Lord to avenge me. I'll see stuff that happens. This is my prayer. Oh, yeah, destroy my enemies. That's my prayer. Destroy my enemies. Because if they are against me, they're against him. I feel no compulsion to pray for them, pray, prosperity on them, pray mercy on them. If the Most High says that he is going to avenge me, I want to ask him to do what he says he's going to do for me. Yes.
And he will. And like I read in Zephaniah, let me read it again for y'all that didn't get this, Zephaniah chapter 3. This is what he said. He said, therefore, this is Zephaniah 3, verse 8. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Most High, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. He is coming to do what he said he's going to do. He's coming. He told us to wait upon him. It's going to be out. He got us. To everybody under my voice, he got us. All we got to do is keep doing what we're doing and being encouraged and wait on y'all, because he said we was going to get it on the way out, and we're going to get it on the way out. We're going to get it on the way out. But they always got something to say all the time. When it come to us, everybody got an opinion that they got to ask. Well, I don't think this. Well, why should they do this? Well, how come it's just them? Well, I don't know why they should feel like they should be the ones to do something. Well, why come they got to have it? Well, what is it that they want? It's always something negative when it come to us. And guess what we do? We just keep on getting on. We keep on getting along. We keep on moseying on along. We keep on making lemonade out of lemon peels. We just keep on keeping on. And then guess what the Most High said? He said, when the time comes, he said, you're going to see the judgment, and then afterwards, they're going to come out with great substance. So we're going to get it on the way out the door. We're going to get it on the way on the boat. And we're going to get on up out of here and go do what we got to do. We're going to get it on the way out. Some of us might get it before then, but the majority of us is going to get it on the way out. And then what? What they going to say then? Well, where they go? Well, how did they get there? It don't matter where we go or where we're going. It don't matter. But we're done. When the time comes for us, when he gets ready to get us out of here, we leaving. They so afraid that we're going to get more than they did or have more than what they have.
Yep. But see, I want to say one thing, and I'll be quiet after that. You know, it's funny to me that we having this conversation. When I sit back and I look back at a couple of years ago, a group of people that didn't know each other, had never met each other, came together and had a beautiful time in Washington, D.C.
Yes, we did.
If you notice about black people, we always, at the time of a moment of peril, we'll come together.
Yes,
and
we'll
take care of each other. So I'm just saying, the way I see it, we're going to be all right. Because we'll
yes,
come
we
together.
Yes, we are. We're going to be just fine. It's going to work. Everything's going to work out to be just fine. It's going to be all right. Like I said, that everybody on this show, everybody has something to contribute. You know, and money management is very important. It's the parable with the talent and the householder and the talent. He gave the talents to each one of them, told them, you know, you do something with it. And everybody that multiplied it, he blessed them. But the one that hid it under the dirt and didn't do nothing with it, he cursed him. So Eric Cole 702, yes, you bring something to the table. And you bring something to community because a lot of people have to know how to manage their money. And every time we went out into – when we went out into the wilderness from Egypt, everybody that was with us had a talent that the Most High put in them, and they used that talent, whether it was to the weighting of the gold, whether it was the making of the curtains for the tabernacle, whatever it was, the goldsmiths that melted the gold down. Everybody has a talent that we had to use. And it's going to still be the same way. And the world can't accept the fact that we the people, but when it comes to us, everybody always got something to say negative one way or the other. I think they should get reparations and there should be budgeting classes to show them once we give them the money, if we was going to stay here with it, that they can't get it until they take a budgeting class and that they're taught how to manage the money and where to put the money and so that they don't waste it because it can last from generations to generations. That ain't what comes out their mouth. It would be an absolute disaster. Wait.
Mm-hmm.
It's never a positive solution. It's always an absolute disaster. And it's never positive. That's what makes me angry, because it's never positive.
Well, can I say something? I work
ma'am.
In the schools. I work in the school system. And the school that I work at is predominantly, not black. There are black students that go there, but they're not the majority. And I have to hold my tongue quite a bit. Well, I try my best. I'm not always successful at it, but I watch a lot. And I've had to correct a few all the way up to the principal. But I will watch them. A black student gets in trouble, and the majority of the teachers there are white as well. So a black student gets in trouble. We've got to call your parents. You know, it's all the way down to almost getting this child expelled.
Mm-hmm.
And he may have put his hoodie on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you a, okay. So now I had a white student curse at me,
mm-hmm.
Just totally disrespect me,
mm-hmm.
and I said something, and they made him apologize to me and then sent him on his way and told me, but he's a good kid.
Mm-hmm.
We had a diversity meeting in service about diversity, and because they've noticed that a lot of the black students are the majority of the ones that are in, what do you call it? Not expelled, but suspension.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to not, be so hard and in other words, basically give them a pass.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got frustrated, which they couldn't understand. They thought, because so many of us were going, yeah, I love it. And let's read the miseducation of the Negro. I'm like, you know what? You can have your book. What I'd like for you to do is stop treating us like a project.
Exactly.
You said your kid is nice. Mine is nice, too.
Too. That's right.
So either
Absolutely.
Yours is going to be as bad as they are, or ours is going to be as nice as you think yours are. But
that's all I was trying to say earlier.
See us differently, and until you see us, and they never will, and I'm fine with that because we're out of here anyway, but until you see us that way, they're never going to treat us the way we keep begging them for. And I'm not talking about us on the call. I'm talking about all of us that's still out there lost, that's begging them. It's never going to happen because they see us as criminals, liars, thieves, all the negative things. So when you see somebody like that, All they can think is negative. No, don't give them money. They're going, you know, do something criminal with it or this, that, and the other. And let me show you how. Let me show you what's happening in Chicago and this, that, and the other. You know, I heard a black guy talk about all that happened with them black kids in Chicago, and then he showed a black woman helping an interracial couple get out of there, took her to her home, gave them some shoes, got them some help. He didn't mention that she was black. He just said, and the lady came and helped the couple, but he kept saying, this is a black guy that kept saying the black kids in Chicago and look with them black kids. It's because we have been conditioned to believe all we are criminals, thieves, you know, all the negative things. I can't wait to get out of here. I'm so sorry. I can't wait.
Hold on, let me get 330 open. Area code 330, your mic is open. You are on the air.
Okay, sister. So I had one rebuttal to the beautiful lady that said everyone, I think she said everyone, was going through certain things, right? So I just wanted to say it's not just everyone. It's only a certain group of people. And just like Dr. Phil, when he came on and he said, oh, yeah, we should have stipulations on this and stipulations on that. Well, there should be no stipulations on anything. You paid the Indians, you paid the people from Germany, you paid you paid everyone, but you've never paid us who built this country.
Yes,
so
we did.
It shouldn't be any stipulations on anyone. If you say, oh yeah, we're going to pay $800,000 to each person that was in slavery, then you need to pay it. You shouldn't sit up here and say, well, because they'll be broke in 6 months. No, you just pay them. You paid everybody else, so what's the problem?
They're going to give it to us. And guess what? The Most High done fixed it where when it comes time for him to give whatever it is he's got for us, it's going to be way more than that. And I really believe it's going to be in gold and silver. And when we get ready to leave up out of here, it's going to be great wealth because that's what his words say. Now, that's going to get a whole lot of people angry and mad. But it is what it is.
Absolutely, but you didn't put any stipulations on anybody else. So why would you put them on this one?
Because they cannot stand the fact that these criminals, liars, that's why. They don't see us as them. So we require stipulation from their standpoint because we don't know how to – we're not human to them.
Yep.
Yeah, I get that part.
This is the problem. We keep asking why can't they? They don't see us on their level. We are beneath them. They do for us, it's in our favor.
Everyone else has been paid.
Because they see them as worthy of that. They don't see us as somebody worthy to be paid.
Nope.
Well, we were the only ones that was brought here against will. Everybody else came on their own.
They did.
So,
and they brought us here because they were helping us, see, because you are a little low-life, don't know nothing, and we're going to bring you over here. I'm just talking about how they think. This is not how I feel. This is how they think. This is how they see us. They don't see us on that level. And we keep trying to find a way for them to see us. They're never going to see us on that level.
It will never work because in order to have white, it's defined in opposition to black. You have to have a reference group, and we are that reference group. If we were not defined as other, they would not have – there would be no white. Then they would have to be back in their little Irish and German, whatever. But – It's that monolithic white that has been defined in opposition to black. So it can never go away. Otherwise, that category ceases to exist and have the significance that it has. That's it. This is part of the social structure. This is the thing that has really regulated hierarchies here in the United States. It will not go away, because if it goes away, then this whole system will cease to exist as it exists right now. But
all right,
so
let me just say something. My grandmother was white. She married a black guy.
Great great grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Well, I can, yes.
Okay, so my grandmother was white. She married a black guy. That was back in the 40s. I couldn't even imagine how they had to deal with all this. So
yep.
If you're not white, white, you're white-black.
You white-black. That's right.
Okay, so, again, I couldn't even imagine what they went through. But in today's age, it's still the same way.
Don't stay that way, because he said, I put you in the midst of your enemies. I placed you in the midst of your enemies. They can. That's all they can be. That's all. And then guess what? There are some people. There are some Caucasian people that are very nice. Now, don't get me wrong. But
yes,
are we talking about? Did we talk about the naysayers and the gaysayers? We talking about those people? Them want that? Them hardliners? They ain't changing, bro. They not gonna change. They gonna teach their children and their children's children. It's the generation that's going to go on and on and on. They're not changing. They're not going to change.
And I agree.
And guess what? They influence the other people for them to see us a certain way, and that's just the way it is, and period.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you got to walk into an environment and prove to everybody that you're competent, that you're intelligent, that you're professional, that you're morally correct. You have to go into an environment and prove that by your behavior and the way you carry yourself, just to feel like you accept it. Because if you go in there to know, what's up, y'all? How y'all be? What's up, niggas? All that, that's they are. That's how they are. That's them. There they go. That's what we told you. See, look, there it is. You know, all of it. It's all, you know, and it's all been conditioned to be that way. Because
yes,
of propaganda.
So at home.
It's because of propaganda. Just on TV, they put us like that on television, and that's all they see. Is that's how they act. And like she said, don't be like those. You can't be like the niggers. You have to make sure you carry yourself, because this is what the niggers do, and do not act like the niggers. That is not something that we do as a people. And you better not come home with a nigger. And they drill that into their children.
Yes, it starts at home.
It is. It is. My daughter
and
has a friend,
and
it's biracial.
Let me tell you.
And her
her mother's family disowned her. So this is what I wanted to tell you. This is why I like animals better than people. The animal don't care, you know, who you are. They just want to be loved.
Yeah, well, you know, that would be nice if that's how the story was written with the Most High, but it's not. He's got
I get that. But I'm just saying, in my experience, I have animals come to me all the time that want help. And I help them. And
I understand.
I figure I'm helping them because the Most High brought them to me.
Praise Yah. You
yes.
know, and I appreciate that. But at the end of the day, my brother, at the end of the day, they see us as animals, but we just not the likable kind.
Right. I got
they do.
You.
They see us as animals, and we not the likable kind. And then you may have some people, and there are some people that are very nice, and they don't feel that way. But we talking about the mainstream folk, and that's how they play us. So it is what right. it is, and those are the same ones giving opinion. Well, I don't think they should get any. Well, why should they get anything? We've given them food stamps and Section 8 and low-income housing, and we've given them, at one point, they were getting free education.
And that's yeah. what destroys everything.
But this,
it destroys everything because yeah. you have, oh, yeah, you can't have any men here. All right, great.
You know, it
yeah.
is what it is. It's as simple as that. There's no other way to cut it, you know, and it can be very difficult for some people, but in the fact of the matter is, as a nation, like the lady said, they see us as thieves and robbers and cutthroats and all kind of crazy stuff because that's what is allowed to be portrayed about us as a nation. Nobody will ever say that we once had the most glorious kingdom on the planet. That we were full of kings and queens and princesses, and we had all kind of wealth that couldn't even be imagined. Nobody was ever as wealthy as Solomon was, and Solomon was a part of our families. No, they don't even acknowledge the fact of that because, again, we're living in a simulated life. So as long as
right,
we stay
so,
on the
so,
and
so
everybody
sister,
else stay on
I
the
mean,
top, it is what it is. It's just no simple as that. It's no other way to put that. No other way to put it.
And
it's
sister,
okay.
it had to be this way.
Yeah.
It had to be this way. We're in the land of our captivity.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not
going
to
change. So at the end of the day, instead of, I try not to get upset, and I pray to the Most High. I repent. Because it had to be this way, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yep. And you did.
This
you
is
too
so
angry. I'm yeah. I had to, give everybody a chance to talk. And some people's phones,
yeah.
I had to put everybody on mute because I want everybody else to have a chance to talk. So we're running out of time, and I want to give everybody an opportunity to say something. So Sis 702, I thank you so much for your comment, Sister Yusantia, what is your last comment for the evening? Because we're running out of time here.
I think it's really important for us to understand that the Most High put His law, statutes, and commandments in place so that we could live the way that He wants us to live, so that we can have the environment that nurtures us, so that we can be amongst people that have integrity, that love Him, that love themselves, that love others. And so we don't look for it from outside people. That's what He has given us when He gave us a knowledge of who we are. So the more that we actually conform to what He wants us to conform to, the more that we will love ourselves and love those people around us, because they will be laudable, upstanding people. And I lived abroad, and one of the things I loved living abroad was because everybody looked like me, and I said I walked in anonymity. I did not have the psychological oppression that we're all speaking about. That's a function of our captivity. But the Messiah said He came to give us liberation, and He gives that to us by us being able to create amongst ourselves the kind of environment that will nurture us. The more we obey Him, the more nurturing we can be, and the more nurturing we will receive.
All right, I appreciate that. Brother Yerushalayim, what is your comment for the evening?
Just want to say that, all of us hold on. I know that we have come together as a people, and I'm glad that we had this conversation. I pray to the Most High that we all be blessed and taken care of and protected in these last and vital days. Thank you.
Hallelujah. And I say the same thing. Like I said, we get it. This has been a very heated conversation, and it does spark emotions, responses, all of that comes out because, again, it's always another nation trying to tell us how we're supposed to act and how we're supposed to feel. And what, like Brother Doniel used to say, we came out of a horrific slavery and was offered no counseling. We have had to feel this our way along as we have come along. And I think we have done an amazing job considering what has happened to us as a people. I think we have been, we are an amazing people. I mean, just resilient and having the knowledge. We are very educated and just intelligent people. And in spite of the stuff that we have seen and had to endure, I think we are an amazing group of people. And when he removes us from this oppression, we will see just how much of, we're the apple of his eye. He said, when you touch them, you have touched the apple of my, they, nobody can deal with that. Them? Not them. The nigger? Oh, my God. And I hate to keep saying that word, but that's how everybody, the majority, sees us. So, you know, as we move forward to this thing, that's why we've been here constantly, week in and week out, year after year after year, to be able to let our people know, let's stop. We don't have to be influenced by this stuff. Just stop. And wait until he comes, because when he comes, it's our whole life is changing. We're going to leave all of this behind. It ain't going to be no NFL, no NBA. It ain't going to be no rap music. It ain't going to be no music industries. It ain't going to be none of that. He's going to take his people out of this environment, reprogram us, and teach us how to be his people and how to love him and follow his laws, statutes, and commandments. We will be influenced by none of this stuff no more. Ain't going to be no plastic surgeons. It ain't going to be no body makeovers. It ain't going to be no weave stores. It ain't going to be none of that. There ain't going to be no nail stores. None of it. And this is going to be a distant memory. The only thing he's going to remind us of is the way we used to carry ourselves. And he said, you're going to loathe yourself for the way you used to act. Because we're not supposed to live like this. I'm going to tell somebody it's going to be an absolute disaster. You're right. But we won't be here with it, that's for sure. And on that note, you know, like I said, it nerves me. I get sick of it. And everybody's always telling us how we supposed to feel and how we supposed to act and what should we supposed to do. You ain't walked a mile in our shoes. Our Elohim put us here. So anyway, I have enjoyed it as usual. Our time is up. And you guys, we're going to keep this going again. We'll see you next Sunday. We're round two. And you know what, like I said, if you want to invite Dr. Phil, Dr. Will, Dr. Mooka, Dr. Booka, whoever else to come on this show, we'll be more than happy to let them know what it is. Because until you walk a mile in these shoes over here, you can't tell us what it's like to be a black person in America, a Hebrew Israelite living in America under the name of an African American. You have no idea what that's like. You guys have a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll see you at our regularly scheduled programs this week. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Good night.